Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj, offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 66. Mai nirbhada hridaya, sarva samadarshana, vishe kurvanti mam bhaktya, satriya satpatim yata. Mayi, unto me, nirbhada, hridaya, firmly attached in the core of the heart, sarva, the pure devotees, samadarshana, or equal to everyone, vishay, under control, kauravanti, they make mam unto me bhaktya by devotional service satriya chaste woman satpatim unto the gentle husband yata as translation of Prabhu by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. Purport. In this verse, the word samadarshanaha is significant. The pure devotee is actually equal toward everyone, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 1854. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee, Pandita Samadarshanaha. Pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus, he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Buddha. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and that which is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore, he is sympathetic to everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj said, so che tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukaya baram udvahato vimudan. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. So the text again. Mai nirbhada hridaya sarva samadarshanaha vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satriya satpatim yata. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Baya Dvija Vinineshita Syad Ishadabhatasya Vipario Smriti. When the living entity comes to the material world and turns his face away from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavanchatare, when he wants to compete with Krishna, then his role becomes reversed. Instead of trying to become Krishna's servant, he tries to take Krishna's place. And fear arises, because the gift of trying to take Krishna's place is we're given a material body with a material mind, a material conception of life, and a false ego, and therefore we're given this wonderful body to try to enjoy. And along with trying to enjoy this body, whatever we can get from it, the ice cream after Harinam is good. The height of the day. But we also have to digest the ice cream. We have to go to sleep. We have to try to wake up. And then again, we're trying to struggle in the material world to take one foot in front of the other. And that's success. So every living entity is in the material world an illusion. Ichcha, dvesha, samutena, dvanva, mohena, bharata. That all living entities are born into delusion. Even Lord Brahma thinks he has four heads. Of course, if you count his heads in this universe, there are four, but Lord Brahma is not the actual soul within the body. It doesn't have four heads, probably. Similarly, we're all spiritual beings. We all have the same opportunity. We're not exactly all the same. If you could take a mirror, not everyone here is a blade of grass in Vrindavan. There's some variety in the spiritual world too. And if you look at everyone and you see only a blade of grass, then you probably need spiritual glasses. But everyone has an equal opportunity to please Krishna and serve him eternally in full devotion. And if we try to, with our little tiny brains, try to figure out how big Krishna is, we won't make very much progress. As a matter of fact, we'll immediately start thinking, our little puffs of smoke will start coming from our ears, and we know it's time to cool the brain back down again. To think that there's someone in this very room, he's in at least in everyone's here's heart, and he's giving us all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He knows where we've been for the last 100 billion lifetimes, even what our names are. I can't even remember everyone's name in the room here, but Krishna knows our names since time immemorial, and then he knows our actual name. So we think, oh, Krishna might be like this, or Krishna may be like that. Yes, it's an exaggeration. Then Krishna was here, that the grass, the flowers, the trees, the birds, the deer in the forest, the goat, everyone was attracted to Krishna. Everyone was in love with Krishna. How can that be possible? Sometimes we see the pictures of the deities, especially in India, are not so lifelike. We think, this is Krishna, this is all attractive Krishna. Like there's one deity, there's three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, and each one of those murtis is supposed to have been carved in exact replica to Krishna. We think, this is all attractive Krishna? It's not so attractive. Because we don't see very well. First of all, every deity is actually quite blissful and attractive. But the original form of Krishna is beyond our comprehension. And everyone has an eternal relationship with that eternal form, which is the basis of everyone's existence in the spiritual world, because there's nothing more attractive. Even when we're attracted to Srimati Radharani, and we become her eternal servant, or the servant of her servants, still, her only desire is to serve Krishna. Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, exists simply to please Krishna, and for no other reason. And those who serve her, they exist only to serve her, to help her serve Krishna. So Krishna is ultimately the heart of everyone's heart, the center of everyone's heart in the spiritual world. And everyone in the spiritual world has an equal opportunity to serve Krishna. And everyone in this world has an equal opportunity to serve Krishna. And that's what makes us, that's what our ultimate gain is. Everything else is just illusion. We may be ahead of someone else, seemingly in the material world, judging by material criteria. Someone may be the best athlete for now. Someone may be the most beautiful person in the judgment of others. Someone may be the richest. But these things are all, obviously, they're temporary. And as a matter of fact, if I work too hard to get prominence in this material world, it'll probably backfire on me in my next lifetime. The little soul thinks that my aim of life is to become the fastest swimmer. So I'm spending 9 hours a day in the pool trying to become the best swimmer in the world. And at the end of life, I finally get the gold medal before I have my heart attack and wind up as a fish in the Atlantic Ocean. So I can't even bring my gold medal into the ocean with me. I'm just a fish swimming back and forth. So what did I actually gain besides repeated birth and death? Some other foolish people are saying how great I am because I can swim like a fish. And those foolish people, they may become part of my school when I become a fish. A group of fish is called a school. So one has to recognize that actually I'm a spiritual soul and everyone else is a spiritual soul. And I can't really give anyone anything of value except to help them become conscious of Krishna. That their actual relationship ultimately is with Krishna. And because they have a relationship with Krishna, they have a relationship with everyone else. Because Krishna has a relationship with everyone. So if one has a relationship with Krishna, one also has a relationship with all living entities. And that relationship to serve Krishna, and Krishna, as it says here, Krishna becomes the devotee of his devotee. So if we become a devotee of Krishna, then our obligation to please Krishna is to become the devotee of his devotees. And here in the material world, everyone is trying to get devotees. In the spiritual world, everyone is trying to become a devotee. Rati Manjari, who's serving Srimati Radharani eternally, who's incarnated as Raghunath Das Goswami, her only desire is to be accepted as a servant of Srimati Radharani. Eternally. She never thinks, oh, now I become a servant. My business is done. No, she's aspiring eternally to become at least a better servant, if not a servant. She wants Srimati Radharani to acknowledge that Rati Manjari or Tulsi Manjari is her servant. That's her goal of life. And every living entity has the same desire in the spiritual world, the same opportunity, and we have that same opportunity here also to try to become Krishna's servant and therefore become the servant of Krishna's servants through Krishna in the heart and his representatives. That's true equality, samadarshanaha. Not just this, and at the same time, we have to acknowledge if we want to serve properly, we have to acknowledge who at least has more consciousness of Krishna than I have and is willing to impart that consciousness to me. In order to get it, then I have to practice service because that's how they got it. They didn't get consciousness of Krishna by, you know, some trick. Or Krishna liked the way they looked and so therefore he gave them consciousness of Krishna. And he looks at me and he said, oh, that's disgusting, sorry. Come back tomorrow, or next lifetime of Brahma. No, it all depends simply upon the desire to serve the servants of Krishna and to acknowledge whatever service attitude they have, try to appreciate it, and therefore try to serve them better than they're serving us. Of course, that service doesn't mean that everyone is serving in the material world. So we have to know what the service should be. As one sannyasi told me, another sannyasi came to visit him, and in order to please him, they went to the movies together. Maybe the Avatar was playing. But there are better ways of pleasing Krishna's devotees than going to accompany them to the movies and offering the popcorn for them. We have to be a little discriminating how to serve also, There are 9 different processes of devotional service, and they're all meant to help us remember Krishna, because it's when we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness that our real original Krishna consciousness awakens, because that absorption is, as we can read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can experience the different service or loving relationships that different devotees have with Krishna. But it's all service to Krishna. The whole Bhagavatam is about service to Krishna. And we experience, when we experience their love and their service to Krishna, that awakens our dormant service attitude towards Krishna also. And similarly, if we try to associate with the devotees in order to awaken our service attitude, then we actually make progress. Otherwise, if we don't try to do that, we usually get into difficulty, because if we're not serving the devotees, generally, if we're associating with them, we're not in the service attitude, we're in this competitive attitude. Oh, you think you're so good? Well, I'm going to make you humble at my mercy. I'll show you. Which is all right if it's utilized, for instance, for book distribution. But if it's utilized in other ways, it may not be so favorable sometimes. I'm going to become the most famous. I'm going to get the most prasadam. We can see sometimes we're eating prasadam, and we see someone else has more than we do, we become envious. And then because of that enviousness, because enviousness is a heating emotion, we actually get hungrier. So we become empowered so we can eat more. And when the other devotee sees we're eating more than they are, then they become envious too. And they get heated up and they eat more. Until either one gets sick or they pass out. So that kind of activity is not so favorable. Like one devotee, he won the Glubdhami eating contest. He ate 80 Glubdhamins. And then they had to take him to the hospital. So he won. But those kind of victories are not very significant. They're not really very helpful for us. The victory is if I can actually become a better servant and sincere servant. Sometimes we glorify other devotees to embarrass them, make them feel bad. We exaggerate their glories just so they get disturbed. And when we see them disturbed, when we become happy. So that type of glorification and service is not recommended. It should be sincere service. It should be something which is actually appreciable, coming from the heart, not simply from externally, to make ourselves look good. Oh, you're the greatest, Prabhu. Every time I look at you, my heart melts out of ecstasy. Really, your heart is actually melting. Looks pretty hard to me. Knock, knock. Hey, it seems like it's made of steel. How come you say it's melting? Oh, it's melting because I'm such a great... because I'm so... You're so great. Now, we should acknowledge everyone has an equal opportunity to serve Krishna. And I have an opportunity to serve Krishna. So my relation with others is simply my opportunity to serve them, to serve Krishna, and therefore make some spiritual progress. And to help them, inspire them to also make some spiritual progress too, because that's part of my duty as Krishna's servant, as the servant of his servants. Therefore, Krishna Kirtana Ganana Tarataro. How's it go? Krishna Kirtana Ganana Tarnaparo. Premam Ritambo Nidhi. Dira Dira Janat Priyo Priyakaro. So the six Goswamis Nirmatsaro. They were not envious of anyone. And the Dhira, those who are sober-minded, those who have sense and mind control, they were friends to them, as well as the Adhira. Because they're not envious. And therefore, they dance and chant in ecstasy, try to engage everyone, Jagai, Madhai, everyone, in chanting and dancing in ecstasy, in love of God. Because we can't imitate that. If someone throws a pot at us and hits us in the head, we're very unlikely, better to run away. Not go up to them, hit me again, you know. I'll turn the other side. Make it even. Well, Lord Nityananda is very merciful. Pure devotees are very merciful, and they're empowered because they're not part of the material world. Someone like, what was his name? Murari Gupta. Murari Chaitanya Das. He was so empowered that he was able to put venomous snakes on his lap in the forest, in the jungle, and play with them. He was so much in ecstasy of love of God. And he would go into the forest and fight tigers and slap their faces. And sometimes he'd spend 3 days underwater chanting Hare Krishna. So we can't imitate that. You can try if you want to test and see how advanced you are. We can invite you to come to the neighbor, is there a zoo in Ljubljana? Is there a tiger there? So you can test out and see how advanced you are. When the jail keepers aren't looking, you can sneak into the cage and go, whack, 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 whack! And if it doesn't work, then at least you tried. So we should not imitate advanced devotees, but we have to serve the advanced devotees. So there's a difference between anusharanam and anusaranam. We should try to follow their instructions, but not imitate their behavior necessarily. So we have so many instructions how to advance the Hare Krishna movement, and we could try to serve those instructions and try to see how all living entities are equal. For instance, on Harinam, after chanting for some time, people start seeming a little bit more equal than they did at the beginning. Even the dog that's biting, barking, you say, well, at least he's participating. Pronunciation's not so good, but he's trying. And for a book distributor, the only difference is this person seeing who could take the book. If someone takes the book, they're as good as God. Otherwise, if they say Hare Krishna, they're almost there. So this Krishna consciousness movement is an opportunity to purify our hearts so we can actually see reality. And reality is not all this differentiation, all this temporary, it's there, all these different bodies that we have. They're real, they're not unreal, but they're only temporary. And mostly it's imagination, because 99.9% of what we're seeing is just space. We're just filling in all the what we think is going on here. But what is actually going on is Krishna's attempt to help us see everyone equally as an opportunity to service to him by engaging them in Krishna's service. And in order to do that, then we have to see that Krishna is the controller here, Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is everyone's friend. If we can remember those three things, then our life and our relationship with others will be perfect. And if we can't, then at least matrivat paradareshu, paradvareshu lostravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashyati sapanditaha. Then at least we should not become attached to other people's property. Or see others as the victims for our sense gratification. Instead, we should develop the consciousness that everyone is a spiritual being, and we should help them progress on the spiritual platform. then we'll be able to appreciate how Krishna is the friend, how Krishna is the controller, and how Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. So I'll stop there and thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I would like to ask how important it is the mood in which we are supposed to make devotional service or our consciousness in this.
What's the name of the movement?
Mood.
I know, but what's the name of our movement?
Hare Krishna.
Krishna what?
Consciousness.
So, our movement is about Krishna and about consciousness. So, it's meant to develop love. Love is definitely consciousness. Love for Krishna and love for all living entities. So, it's all about that. There's nothing else except for that. So, the mood is all important.
It's very important.
It's the only thing that's important.
Okay.
Of course, if we really have the mood of trying to please Krishna, then Krishna in our heart will give us the intelligence how to do it. If that's our mood, if we really want to serve him, then Krishna will tell us how to do it. And if we really don't want to serve him, then Krishna will give us so much intelligence, we'll never have to serve him.
So, if somebody asks me to do something and do it now and I'm chanting or I'm not in proper conscious, so...
Well, there's a difference between doing something else. Like someone says, for instance, you know, the building's on fire, and we'd like you to come and help put it out. You go, well, I got to finish my rounds room. It's called an emergency. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Karmanyeva de kareste ma pale shuga kadachana ma karmapala hetu arbor na te sangha sukarmani. So Krishna consciousness of karma yoga also includes karma yoga, knowing what is our duty and what is not our duty. So there's three types of major duty. One is what we're prescribed to according to our psychophysical nature. Second is emergency duties. And third is what? Desired activities. So we have to have the intelligence to understand what is my duty, what I'd like to do, and what I have to do as a matter of emergency.
Thank you.
Yes. She can read it.
Avadhuta Rai Prabhu, I read if the Kshatriya doesn't want to prove vigorously his skills, he is a useless Kshatriya. Question, how with such a mentality the Kshatriya can have really a humility?
Well, the same way everyone gets humbled. When we realize we're not the doer, that we're only 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size. It's pretty humbling. I mean, try to imagine what 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size is, and then try to figure out if I realize how big I was, how could I become proud? What is there to be proud of? Hey, just a little tiny soul here. And all we're doing is desiring, and everything else is being carried out by Krishna, either by his spiritual energy or his illusory energy, his external energy. So what is there to be proud of? Even if you're a Kshatriya and you're desiring to serve Krishna as a Kshatriya, and you know that all I'm doing is desiring and everything is carried out by Krishna's energy, what is there to be proud of? Even the Kshatriya has a guru, and he knows only by serving the instructions of my guru does Krishna become pleased and manifest my activities for me. So all the credit ultimately comes to one's guru and Krishna. Not just theoretically or sentimentally, but realistically. Anything else?
Yes, the second. The sound of the holy name of Krishna, non-different from Krishna. Why then Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Namashtaka commentary writes, Bhaktivinoda constantly begs at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami for the appearance of the holy name at every moment. Question: looks like the Krishna have to appear in this holy name. How to understand this?
Krishna, just we're chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that Krishna is forced to appear. That because we called Krishna, hey Krishna, come and dance for me with Srimati Radharani. But Krishna appears out of his own sweet will. Unless the super soul in our heart gives us the ability to remember him, to chant Hare Krishna, we can't do it. It's due to our sincere desire. In proportion to our sincerity, Krishna appears himself. Krishna is everywhere. He's in every atom. But he only appears according to our sincerity. He's not forced to do it. He does it because that's his nature, out of compassion. Anything else?
No.
Madhuri, she over right there.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question. I heard a very senior person in our movement say, success in Krishna consciousness does not depend on our endeavor.
Really? Well, that's good, because if we hardly, you know, then we can do whatever we like. We can still become successful. What does that mean?
Well,
it doesn't depend upon our endeavor.
I think it meant that it happens when Krishna's desire, when Krishna desires it.
Yes, well, what invokes Krishna's desire? You don't think Krishna wants every living entity to go back to the spiritual world? He just, one day he wakes up and thinks, yeah, I think I'll save a few people today. What else to do? What about saving this person? Oh, I don't like that person. I think I'll save someone else. Don't you think Krishna wants to save everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So why do some people make progress and others don't?
So what does our success, that means, does success...
Depends upon our sincere desire or our develop. It begins with hearing from the right source.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we hear and we sincerely, with attention, then we might remember what we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember what we heard, we might try to think about, pray to Krishna, analyze it according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, pray to Krishna in the heart so we can understand and assimilate what we've learned, what we heard. So that's called perspective. Then after gaining perspective, we might desire to actually put into practice. That's called conviction. Knowledge is something you can argue about. Conviction is something you'll die for. So then you actually are convinced and you're willing to put into practice. You endeavor with your body, mind, and words. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha. One's faith, one's mind, one's intelligence, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. Then with that conviction, as it's refined, and Krishna gives more and more intelligence, then it becomes skill, especially skill in the loving exchanges with Krishna and his devotees. And with the innocent people, and how to avoid the atheists. And then when one becomes fully absorbed in Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, one is actually living in the spiritual world, one is a resident of the spiritual world, then one displays all the character, one displays the character of a pure devotee.
So then success does depend on our endeavor.
Yeah, that's all it depends on.
Thank you.
Of course, Krishna's mercy is there. He's not obligated. But Krishna's very kind if we put in endeavor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I would like to add to a question of Mataji. How I realized... that our endeavor, as I perceived, that we are trying to satisfy a devotee of Krishna with our endeavor, and our advancement it depends on mercy of devotees and Krishna. That is how I...
Or, yeah, it depends upon our desiring to get their mercy. For those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, well, it begins with hearing about Krishna's glories and then becoming desirous of utilizing our chitta, our consciousness, and our prana, our energies, in his service. And the more we constantly engage in service to Krishna with enthusiasm, so constantly engage with his gross, subtle body with enthusiasm, with chitta, care and attention, then Krishna gives us more and more intelligence how to actually engage these activities in devotional service, how to actually become more and more steady and more enthusiastic in our service. And when Krishna sees that we're taking advantage of the intelligence and the process that he's given us, then gradually he becomes inclined out of compassion to us, especially when we pass the tests. Because when things go nicely, that's all right. But when Krishna puts us into a test, and then we pass it, then he becomes compassionate upon us, and reveals himself within the heart, because he sees we're worthy of it. And then our darkness of ignorance is destroyed, and we actually experience Krishna consciousness as it really is. Yes?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think Prabhupada said it's endeavor with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, right?
It's called enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Endeavors in Krishna consciousness with intelligence, it's called enthusiasm.
Oh, so that's the attitude that we should...
Enthusiastic? Yeah, it's good to be enthusiastic. Otherwise, we're like a dead stone. So yeah, we can, if we perform devotional service with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, then we'll get enthusiasm.
But enthusiasm doesn't mean that we have to jump out of the bed and start to dance. And
not a bad idea, but it means...
personally, I wouldn't be able to be like that enthusiastic.
No, as I said, endeavors executed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence, that's called enthusiasm. So it's enthusiasm is not just jumping up and down. No, it means endeavor. We have to do what we're supposed to do. We have to find out what Krishna wants us to do through Guru Sadhu and Shastra and the super soul in the heart. And then we have to do it with intelligence, praying to how to actually seeing how to do things properly by seeing proper examples and hearing from the scripture, etc. So we have to pray for the intelligence, how to do what Krishna wants us to do. And that should be done in the consciousness of Krishna, to try to please him. If we do those three, then Krishna will give us the enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a gift coming from devotional service, real enthusiasm.
Thank you.
Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.